see the hand of God moving in our lives. So we're so thankful and so blessed that we have another Sunday that we can gather today. Amen. So let us just pray quickly. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this time, Lord. What a blessed time it is, Lord, to fellowship with like-minded believers. Thank you for your healing, Lord, that's taken place, Lord. Pray that it manifests, Lord, for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. Let it illuminate the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, dying, fallen, decaying world. How we need the light of your word, Lord, to direct us, to give us insight and discernment, Lord. So we thank you for it. We bless you for it, Lord. Speak to us now through the scriptures. Let them jump off the page into our hearts that we might apply them to our life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we're continuing up our message, Spirit-sealed and Spirit-filled, as we go through Ephesians, we're in Ephesians 5 and 6, then we went to Galatians, so we're going to go back there. The book of Ephesians, Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus. The book is split into three parts. It talks about the wealth of the believers, the walk of the believers, and then in chapter 6, it talks about the warfare that we're engaged in of the believers. So in this particular passage, it's talking about the walk. If you want to find out about the wealth, you can go to Ephesians 3 and 20. It talks about how God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or think. But he's talking about the walk. So Ephesians 5, verse 6, it says, "Let no man, let no person deceive you with empty words." So you have to be careful of who you listen to and what you listen to. We talked about it, how they try and tell you that all this came from nothing, that something can come from nothing. And we know that it's literally impossible for something to come from nothing. Even if it was a Big Bang, what caused the Big Bang? So something cannot come from nothing. We talked about the missing link and how we thought we saw some missing links, but it was just some people we grew up with. But it was not anything, just looked like that. It says empty words. He says, what was the slogan of something? Says, don't let the smooth taste fool you. Paul tells us right here, don't let the empty words fool you. It's nothing to them. That says, "For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Says verse 7, "Be not ye partakers with them." Don't even entertain that foolishness. Verse 8, for we were sometimes darkness. He sums up our whole life in verse 8. Our past, our presence, and our present and our future. "For we were sometimes darkness, but now we are light." It's our present. The past, where we were darkness. The present, we are light. And then walk as children of light. That's our future. That's how we're to live. As children of light. Says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." The fruit of the Spirit, verse 10, providing what is acceptable unto the Lord. So when we walk with the fruit of the Spirit, since we are Spirit filled and Spirit sealed, that proves and provides what is acceptable unto the Lord. So that's how we went to Galatians. So go to Galatians chapter 5. We're getting into the fruit of the Spirit. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? Paul gets pretty heavy on us. He does a comparison between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. In the book of Galatians, Paul is talking about works and faith. He had came and shared with the Galatians how we're saved by faith. We're saved by the grace of God through faith. We're saved. But then some other people came in and said, "No, you got to be circumcised and you got to keep the law. You got to do the right things in order to be saved." Paul said, "No, because we could never do the right thing enough." Somebody say amen. Somebody say, thank God we don't have to go based upon what we do and what we think. So Paul is telling them the grace of God is what saves us. And our faith in God and what Christ has done saves us. So it gets a little heated here. But look at 5 and 13. He says, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty, which you've been called unto freedom. We're free in Christ. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. He said, just because you've been freed by what Christ has done, don't use that as an excuse to say, I'm going to live raggedy and then say, God, forgive me. So don't do that. Just because it's not based upon what you do, you still don't have a license to sin. All right, so turn with me. Look at turn back to Galatians. Go to 2 and 11. And so we'll come back to chapter 5. And so here's when it gets a little heated with Paul and Peter, if you can believe that. It says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, are you at Galatians 2 and 11?
Yes.
It says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I opposed him to the face because he was in the wrong. You can confront your brother in Christ in love. All right. He said, you don't talk behind his back. He said, I talked to Peter to his face because he was wrong. But he talked to him in love. All right. So it's a way that you talk to somebody. And make no mistake, they weren't on bad terms. Look at 1 and 15, Galatians 1 and 15. I was studying last night, right? And little mama comes to the back and says, hey, Dad, I just wanted to say hi. See how you doing. OK, what you going to teach about tomorrow? I'm like, I have no idea. I said, I'm all over the place. You said ADD. I said, yeah, yeah, that's it. You all know I'm all over the place. Peter and Paul were not on bad terms. But look at Paul's conversion. When Paul was converted, look at 1 and 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. God's had a call on your life before you were even born, ladies and gentlemen. And said, and called me by his grace. So make a note of that. I don't care what you're dealing with, what you're going through, what the enemy has told you, but God's called you by his grace from your mother's womb. Even if you thought you were a mistake, you weren't, because God called you before then. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He said, the spirit hit me. God spoke to me. I didn't have to talk to anybody about it. I knew I was going to preach the gospel. I didn't need some man to ordain me or to appoint me. God appointed me. And look what Paul says. He said, I didn't even go up to verse 17. I didn't even go up to Jerusalem to them, which were the apostles before me. I didn't go and talk to all those guys. He said, I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I hung out with him for 15 days. I'd love to meet Jesus Christ. I mean, I really would. But I guess the second thing I'd like to do is sit and listen to Peter and Paul talk about the gospel for 15 days. That must have been a powerful conversation. Paul's been converted. He just goes right to Arabia, start preaching the gospel. So I didn't have to check with the apostles. God has sent me. That doesn't mean you don't need to be accountable and all that. But when God sends you, you know it. He went and preached the gospel. And he came back 3 years later. Verse 19, but others of the apostles saw I none except for James, the Lord's brother. Now, these things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I'm not lying. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which he once destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Somebody say amen for a second chance. Don't let your past predict your future. Don't let the history of what you've done prevent you from being all that God's called you to be right now. We know Paul was killing Christians. He was a murderer. He was feeding them to the lions. To the fact that when he was coming out preaching, they said, man, it's only a setup. He's trying to find out who's really Christians, and then he's going to capture us and kill us and feed us to the lions. They didn't believe he had been converted. Hey, some of your friends probably don't believe you real with your Christianity either. Amen? They always want to pull up the past, pull it out of somewhere, out their back, out their ear. But remember when you, and I remember when you was, and this and that. Paul said, no. He persecuted the church. Now he's preaching the faith which he once destroyed. Somebody say amen. That's all of us. That we once destroyed it through our lifestyle, through our conversation, through our deeds, through our actions. We was destroying the name of Jesus and didn't even know it. And now we preach that same name. So here we go. Bless you. So Paul and Peter are not on bad terms, so don't get that confused. Now let's go to verse 11. He says, 2:11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. I opposed him and told him to his face. Verse 12, for before that certain came from James. Certain Jews came with James, and he did eat with the Gentiles. So Peter's eating with the Gentiles. But then when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So remember, these are the guys saying, no, you can't be one of us unless you circumcise. And so Peter's eating with them. So maybe they're a different color, or maybe they speak a different language, and he's eating with them. Maybe they're straight. Maybe they're gay. Maybe they're bi. Maybe they're whatever. And he's eating with them. And then when his friends come, he say, I got to get away from y'all. Because the peer pressure. Don't let peer pressure prevent you from preaching the gospel. It's not about color. It's not about language. It's not about this or that. It's about freedom in Christ. And look at 13, verse 13. And the other Jews, he calls that, played the hypocrite. In some versions, they played the hypocrite. They're going to get away from these guys, even though they know that it's not because of works that you're saved, but because they look like this, they act like that. They're from here, they're from there. They got to get away from them. Paul said, I confronted that right off the top. We're not going to play that game. God does not play favorites. God is not a respecter of persons. Verse 13, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was Paul's homeboy. Barnabas also carried away with the hypocrisy, as he said. Family, we shouldn't treat anybody different than God would treat them. Remember, God takes everybody as they are, but he loves them too much to leave them like that. Let me say it again. God takes us as we are, but he loves you too much to leave you like that. Verse 14 again. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. See, the gospel doesn't discriminate. It's not about works. It's about what Christ has already done. I said unto Peter before them all, I confronted him to his face before all of them. If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? If you're saying that we're all one, then why are you separating yourself? If you're telling the Gentiles that they're like Jews now, in Christ we're all free, and that they can live like the Jews, why are you acting like this? Verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Verse 16 is a kicker. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God. I do not disrespect the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So if righteousness comes by what we do, then Christ died for nothing. So now go back to chapter 5. So he said, now you're saved by grace, and just because you're saved by grace doesn't mean you can live any kind of way. And he's getting ready to break it all the way down. And he tells you, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Yes, we've been saved by grace, but if you're not living for God, if you haven't accepted Christ, then that doesn't apply to you. And this doctrine can get really, really tricky. Some people build doctrines off of works. Well, if you don't get baptized, you're not saved. That's not true. Because it's not about what we work, or if you don't do this, how we work. If you don't do this, you're not saved. If you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. People build doctrine on all that foolishness. And then you have the other extreme, which is the inclusion doctrine, which says, since Adam sinned and everybody came unto sin, since Christ died for our Christ and everybody's saved, it don't matter how you live. You didn't have to do anything to get to be born into sin. You don't have to do anything to be saved. That's the inclusion doctrine. You have to know that stuff is out there. And they'll point to a scripture like this and say, well, Paul said it's not by works, it's by faith. But we know the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to whosoever should believe. You have to believe in him shall have everlasting life. So, all right, so let's go to 5 and 16. Then Paul breaks, oh boy, he gets real deep. Ivy, is my mic, where's Ivy? My mic is on this morning? Oh, I got to check before I start. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's saying, just because you're saved by faith, by grace and faith, you still have to live right. It's not a license to sin. And then he breaks it down. What? So you can know if you're actually living for God or if you're actually fooling yourself. He made it clear. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying you go out, you live ragged, you do whatever you want to do and you're good. He is not saying that. Verse 16, this I say, then walk in the Spirit and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Underline that. So then what is the Spirit and what is the law? And what is the law is the works of the flesh. Oh, boy. Gosh, Pastor. All right. I'm going to just read the word. I ain't going to add nothing to it. OK. Now, these are the works of the flesh, which are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. We talked about the word fornication, which comes from the Greek word pornea, where we get pornography. So if you're into pornography, that other word is also idolatry, which means you have all these images that you're worshiping at the altar of your flesh, of your lust. Paul said, no, that's not cool at all. The word fornication, we broke it down yesterday in our men's meeting. It included adultery, so he actually says adultery twice. That's if you're married and you're sleeping outside your marriage. It also included incest and sleeping with animals and lesbianism and homosexuality is just what the word said. It included all of it. That was just that one word, pornea, covered it all. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, verse 20, idolatry, and then witchcraft. Witchcraft comes from the word pharmakia, which means pharmacy, which means drugs. Ivy, we good? Okay. Even if it is legal, alcohol is legal too. That doesn't mean you have to indulge in it. I'm just telling you what the word says. Hatred. Who are you hating this morning? Who are you hating on? Who do you hate this morning? Paul said, he says, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rioting, and such like. Here's the key. Of those of the which I tell you before, I have also told you in times past. Those who do, underline do. The Greek word is praso, P-R-A-S-S-O, which means those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We're saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But if you're out practicing these things, don't fool yourself. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's what Paul is saying. So just go through the check down list and say, what do I need to tighten up? And again, the word praso means to practice. It doesn't mean that you're struggling, you get caught up from time to time. It means this is what you do, and this is you, and this is what I'm going to do. And nobody's going to tell me any different. This is who I am. I don't care what you say, they say. I don't care what God says, if he's even real. This is me. Paul said, don't fool yourself. Uh-uh. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God living like that. Bless you. So then he gives a comparison. Says, but, thank God for the but. Somebody say, thank God for the buts. Amen. He said, this is what you need to be practicing. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the agape love. Unconditional love. This is how we should be living if we're Spirit-filled and Spirit-sealed. And this is how you know. Go through the check down. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I had to look up long-suffering to make sure you know what it means. Patience, endurance, perseverance, steadfastness. Let me say it again. Patience, endurance, perseverance, steadfastness. How many of you have kids? How many ever seen a kid? That's right. All right. That long suffering, if that's just hard enough right there. If that was only one, I'd be in trouble. Good grief. Then he says gentleness. When you break down the word gentleness in the Greek, it says excellence in character and demeanor. We should be striving for excellence in our character and demeanor. Goodness, upright in your heart and in your life. That's the Greek translation. Boy, it's deep. And then faith, being faithful. And make a note, joy is the calm delight, which is separate from happiness. See, you're putting too much pressure on people to make you happy and things to make you happy, because that comes and go. But the joy of the Lord is the calm delight. In the midst when everything is falling apart, you can still have joy. You can have the calm delight. Lord, I know it's going to be all right. You still have your joy. You have your peace, which is exempt from havoc and rage. It's rest. It's quietness. When things are going crazy, you still got peace. I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to let this ruin my day. I'm going to rest. I'm going to be quiet and see what God is trying to teach me. And that's when the long-suffering, the patience, and the endurance, because you got to endure. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And then the meekness, being humble. And then you say, well, Pastor, how can I do this? No, you can't do it, but God through you can. That's why I say be filled with the Spirit. And then comes the temperance, which is self-control, which tells you in was a Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, remember, God is not trying to improve you and I. He's trying to replace you and I from our flesh to his Spirit. People don't want to come to church. Well, I got to get myself together. You got the wrong idea. God don't want you. He wants to replace you. But that's the trick of the enemy. The enemy wants people to think they have to do it. Same thing was trying to tell Paul and him. Man, you got to be circumcised. Or you don't need to do anything but give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. It is a free gift. That's what grace means. It's a gift. I looked up grace. It's the loving kindness. It's the grace of God that saves us. His loving kindness, his favor. It's also strength. That's why we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's a benefit. It's a gift. That's what grace is. And the Greek is charis. It's the grace of God. It's not about us trying to do things. It's about us surrendering to the one who's already done it. Okay, let me finish this up. Verse 23, meekness, temperance, which is self-control. Against such there is no law. You will never be arrested for showing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. That is the key to life, to a blessed life. We need to be praying that people are filled with the Spirit of God. So we can have peace on earth. That's the only way, because there's no law against that. I'm not going to break in your house and try and rob you. I'm not going to drive by and try and shoot you. I'm not going to try and misuse you and abuse you when I'm filled with the Spirit, because when I'm practicing all those things that are filled with the Spirit, there's no law against that. I'm not going to discriminate against you because of how you look or where you come from or how you talk. There's no law against being filled with the Spirit of God. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and lust. It's a tough one. So ask yourself the question, I don't want no hands, I'm not even looking, but have I crucified my flesh? Have I really died to myself? Have I put God before me so that I can operate with the fruit of the Spirit? Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let the Spirit guide you each and every day. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Say, don't be conceited. You're not all that. We're not all that. Nobody's all that. Christ is all that. Family, we can't save ourselves. Well, how do you make atonement for your sins? Simple question. How do you? So what separates Christianity from the other religions? All of them, you got to work. You got to follow five tenets. You got to follow these teachings. You have to, in order to be good enough, in order to try and impress God, you have to do stuff. God says, no, not in Christianity. You don't have to impress God. You have to surrender to God. I was talking to one of my Muslim brothers. How do you make atonement for your sins? I don't. You mean you don't? I follow these five tenets, and if it's Allah's will, then so you have no atonement and you're not sure about anything. There's no atonement. I don't. I try and be good enough. Whew. That's a tough one. It's a tough one because after you and I go to sleep, when we wake up, it's already again. Everything's against us trying to be good enough. We already defeated. Thank God for the grace. Let's go to Galatians 6 and 7. Let's wrap it up. You should have this highlighted already in your Bibles. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You're not going to make a fool out of God. That's what Paul is telling them. Whatsoever we sow, we shall also reap. For if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, if you feed the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Highlight verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, at the right time, that's what due season means. At the right time, we shall reap if you don't fall apart. Make a note. See, we're, as humans, we're interested in time. Make a note. We're interested in time. God is my time. God, it's my time. It should happen now. It should happen for me now. God, when? We're interested in time. God is not interested in time. God is interested in timing. In God's timing, not your time, but in God's timing. Make a note of that. It says in due season at the right time. It's God's timing, not your time. Because if it comes at the wrong time, you'll self-destruct and you wouldn't appreciate it. But in God's timing, it'll always be right on time. Verse 10, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them which are of the household of faith. Go down to verse 14. And then Paul breaks it down. Let him know where he stands as he closes out the letter. But God forbid that I should glory or try and build myself up except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about the cross, because that's where his blood was shed to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. By whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. He's saying, look, it's the cross where everything's taking place. That's why I glory in what Christ has done. He's saying the world don't understand me and I don't understand them. Now, because of this cross, the world won't accept me and I can't accept them. Because of this cross, the world won't let me hang out with them and I don't want to hang out with them either. Because of this cross, everything has turned upside down. The world is on one side, I'm on the other side because of the cross. You can't serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other. Verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth nothing or uncircumcision. It doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not. All the men say amen. I don't have to deal with that. God's not worried about what you're doing. He's more interested, as Paul says, underline, highlight this, but a new creature. We have a choice in everything we do because we have the opportunity to be a new creature. I don't care how you was raised. I don't care what was going on in your life. I don't care if you feel you were born a certain way. God says right now, you are a new creature if you choose to be. And if you choose not to be, then you've made the choice. Say the works don't matter. I don't care what you're doing, what you've done. That doesn't benefit at all. Only thing benefits if you're a new creature in Christ. It's all that matters right now, being spirit filled and spirit sealed. Don't use your past as an excuse to continue to be the way you are. No excuses. We're in Christ, we're new creatures, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become as new. The grace of God, the Spirit of God, he gives us the strength that we can live right, we can think right, we can act right, we can be right. Not to get saved, but because we are saved. Verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them. Those of you who are walking according to the Spirit, Paul saying peace unto you. And mercy, and upon the people of God. Those of you who are being obedient to God, peace be with you. And mercy. And all the children of God. Verse 17, from henceforth let no man trouble me. Stop talking about all this work stuff to get saved. Don't trouble me with that no more. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to try and work to impress you, because we never could. We couldn't be good enough. We have no atonement for our sins except for the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're so grateful, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Now, we just want to pray for the power, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, that we would decrease so the Holy Spirit could increase, Lord, so that we can live according to the love, the peace, the joy, the goodness, the meekness, the faith, the temperance, Lord. So we could show that love throughout our families, Lord, in our marriages, towards our kids, towards our friends, towards our stepkids, towards our grandparents, towards our parents, Lord. Towards you, Lord. Towards the members of this South Bay Abundant Life Church. Towards each other in here. God, you showed us how to live. What constitutes the work of the flesh and what constitutes the work of the spirit. Now give us the courage, Lord, to practice those things. We don't want to practice the ungodly things. We want to practice the godly things. And we see from Paul's life, Lord, he was a murderer. And you changed and converted him, Lord. So despite all the stuff we've done, we're not going to condemn ourselves anymore because we see your grace covers that. Thank you for the grace, Lord. Thank you for redeeming us. And all we have to do now is accept the free gift that you've given us. We bless you for that, Lord. We're so grateful because we couldn't have earned it. Regardless of what we would have done, we would have never earned it. But because of what Christ did for us, we can receive it. Just want to pray quickly, Lord. Maybe someone's here. They say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord. And say, I've never taken the free gift. I've been trying to work for it. I've been trying to be good. It's not about being good. It's about the grace of God. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, rescued. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. So all we have to do is accept the free gift. It's like any other time, your birthday, Christmas, someone gives you a gift, you either say yes or no thank you. That's all God is saying. Do you want the free gift of salvation? You don't have to work for it. Stop trying to work for it. Just accept it and then live through the power of the Holy Spirit. If that's you, elevate your hand. Say, Pastor, I've never accepted the free gift of salvation. Maybe you're here, you want to rededicate your life. And here we are, October. We got November, December. We're not going to wait till the new year. God, today. Yeah, I'm tightening it up today, Lord. And I know I can do it because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for rededication. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. You say, Pastor, from the worship to the word and it's the love of the people. I'd like to join with South Bay Abundant Life Church. Find my purpose, my method in God. Here, if that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. We'd love to be part of your family on your journey with Christ. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. I saw that couple of hands go up for rededication and membership. And Sister Katie and come up, and Summer and Derek, if you all would come up as well. I'm going to ask some of my family members just to come and surround them. Thank God for this couple. Thank God for what God's doing in all of our lives. Amen. Thank God for my niece. Thank God for my brother Derek. Been friends for a long time. Summer, thank God for Summer. Known her from a youth. Thank God for both of their lives and what he's doing, what he's going to do. So, Lord, here we are and we bless you and we thank you. Lord, as we all just say, thank you. Lord, forgive us of our sins, Lord. We commit knowingly, unknowingly, tried to pretend didn't happen, tried to cover up. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your lesson on grace. God, how you redeemed us. We couldn't do it on our own. All we can do is receive it. So we bless you, Lord. We know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Give us the courage to do it. To love, to have joy and peace. Let us work on that long-suffering thing, Lord, that patience and that endurance, Lord. gentleness, Lord, no anger, no malice, no contempt, no bitterness, Lord. God, help us. We want to do better, Lord. We want to be an example for you. Yes. Want to reach out to a lost and dying world. So we thank you and we bless you. As Derek and Summer are joining with us, Lord, we thank you for adding to this house. Pray a blessing upon them, their marriage, their family, their kids, their relationship, our relationship here, Lord. And thank you for touching their hearts, Lord, and uniting with us today. And so we bless you. We're so grateful. We're so thankful, God, because we can take credit for nothing. Paul said we can't take credit for anything except for the Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Without that, we'd be lost. All we can say is thank you, Jesus, for being real in our life, showing yourself strong. Thank you for the healing that took place this morning, Lord. Thank you for healing our hearts, our spirits, our minds, our bodies, Lord. Thank you, God. We receive the healing. Healing those emotions, those scars. Give it to you, Lord, because there's nothing too hard for you. We bless you on today, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give somebody a hug. Stand to your feet. Hey, brother. Love you, man. Good to see you, D. God bless you. Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Give someone a hug. Thank you.